When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Hail Yes podcast. I am your host, Haley Gamba. How is everyone doing today? Guys, I think I totally jinxed myself. In the last episode, I said that I was starting to feel like fake symptoms of being sick. And by fake symptoms, I mean I was literally just imagining them in my head because I'm a hypochondriac. And now I'm actually sick. I have a tickle in my throat. And I already know it's going to develop into something else because I know myself. I know my body. And it usually starts with something minor. So I have a little bit of a headache. I have a tickle in my throat. Who knows where this is going to go, but I am not happy. But I am healthy. I am okay. I am alive. So I'm not going to complain too much. But I'm just annoyed because it's like that weird waiting period of like you knowing that you're getting sick, but you're not quite sick yet, but you're not quite good either. So I'm like, well, do I just sit home and do nothing? Like, no, I have errands to run. I have things to do. So I don't know what is going on with me, but I'm just hoping that if I take echinacea, I take my vitamins, I drink lots of water, have tea, go to sleep early, maybe I can fight this before it gets worse. Who knows? But I want to kind of give you guys a little tea, a little update, because I love doing that here on this podcast. So you guys are going to hear this episode next Tuesday. Or when you're listening to this, it's not going to be next Tuesday to you, but it's next Tuesday to me. And by then, I already have my new car. I am so excited. I was kind of keeping this a secret because although I do not believe in somebody placing severe evil eye onto my life, I still don't like to pre-speak on things before they are in existence because things happen, life happens. And what's so funny is a few months back, I was looking for a car and the stars just did not align. I not only was very disappointed in the interest rates and the price of the vehicle I was looking for, but I just didn't feel fully ready to give up my current car. A little history on the car that I own now. I purchased it in 2021. It was brand new. It was literally like in the showroom. I've talked about this so many times on my channel because it was such a milestone in my life and in my career because I was so proud of like the success I had that I really wanted to buy a luxury vehicle and I did just that. And I put so many miles on this car that it is officially a liability and it's out of warranty. There's really nothing I can do other than just keep it and maintain it. And that's what I've been doing. And when I tell you my car has gotten me through multiple winters and it has had very little issues. And I've always heard these like stories about how Range Rovers are such horrible vehicles and how they're always breaking down, always having problems. Mine was never that. I've had to fix a few tires over the years and get like my routine service, but that's it. So other than that, I just put a lot of miles, over 100,000 miles on this car. Don't ask me how I did that in 4 years, but I did. I did, and it is what it is. So because it's out of warranty and because I'm like kind of at the end of paying it off because I own my vehicle, I thought, you know what, let's just like give it away and get a new car for a multitude of reasons. For safety reasons, because I kind of want a new car, and I just feel like it's the best thing for me at the moment. It just felt good. So a few months back, I did not like the options I was given. So I said, not doing that. I stumbled upon the car that I purchased that's on its way to me now. And I fell in love with it. It's my dream car. It's another Range Rover. And it's like the Range Rover that I said I wanted if I became a mom. And listen, I'm getting my dream car a little early. Your girl is not pregnant. I'm not even married and I'm not even dating. But maybe this is me manifesting something greater for myself because I'm just getting it now. I love the car. It's just very much me, and it's just like a bigger version of my current Range Rover. So I'm really excited and I love the price of it. It just feels right. I don't feel like I'm doing something that's like out of my budget and financially stupid. So I'm really grateful and I love it. It's a beautiful car. So I'm picking it up on Sunday. It's actually getting shipped. Well, it's getting driven to my mother's house, and I am going to do a little swaparoo, give my car to my car guy, Greg. He's going to hand me the keys to my new car. I'm going to do the paperwork in the privacy of my parents' home and take it back with me to where I'm living now. And I love it. I cannot wait. So stay tuned. I hope to vlog that. And that video should be up sometime the week that you listen to this podcast. I kind of want to get into today's topic because there's a few different things I want to touch on today. And they were all very inspired by my consult calls. I have been just kind of going with the flow with this podcast. And the past few weeks, I've been just speaking about things that come up in my life, which honestly, my YouTube channel is similar to that as well, and I usually like to speak on things that I've experienced that feel and resonate with the time that I'm in, the era that I'm in, whatever and whatnot. And because I've been doing so many consults with you guys and I've been hearing your own personal stories, I would love to share some things that I have been giving you guys in the consult calls privately on today's podcast. Now, an underlying theme in a lot of my calls is me helping guide you guys to think for yourself. And this is something that is actually an art and it takes time. We are set up in society to really mirror other people's opinions, thoughts, and ideas. And even myself, I can be inspired by somebody else's way of thinking. I wouldn't call myself gullible or naive, but I do consider myself to have like admiration for certain people. And if I love the way that they talk, if I like the way that they hold themselves, like their decorum, their class, their speech, their articulation, I tend to like get very obsessive with their thinking because I really love the way that they carry themselves, and I want to emulate that in some way. As I've gotten older, I've realized that people's way of speaking and thinking can be something that I can admire without mirroring it, without being exactly like it. And I also have learned that I can like someone and not fully agree with everything that they think and feel. That is what it means to be a grown adult. I feel like so many people have lost the plot, and the second that they disagree with someone, they no longer want to be a part of their vortex. They feel like, oh my God, how could that person think that? I hate them. I don't want them in my life. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Not everybody needs to think just like you for you to enjoy them. Now, of course, I do think that there is some stipulations to that where, of course, you would want to support someone or like someone who isn't like morally corrupt or does bad things. But if they just have a difference of opinion from you and it's not that big of a deal, there should be no reason for you to really feel differently about this person. When I discuss in my consult calls thinking for yourself, I notice that a lot of people struggle with people pleasing and making decisions for their life that best suit them and are in their best interest. And a lot of this has to do with relationships and friendships, and even some familial relationships. So some things in the family, some things in the friend group, and some things with romantic partners. When I was younger, I had a friend who, prior to us becoming friends, I noticed that everybody was like gossiping about her and would say very weird, outlandish things. And I think that it was fun to like bandwagon hop and just be like, yeah, I don't like her either. But that is not my personality. And I think that naturally, I've always been someone who has befriended the outlier or befriended the black sheep, because in moments of my life, I felt like I was that person. I actually became really close friends with this particular girl that everyone was talking about, and we became best friends in high school. When I tell you I loved this girl down, she was like one of my greatest friends, and to this day, we still communicate. I still really enjoy her. I just think it's interesting how people really want you to pander to their way of thinking, and it really just is not my style. So a few things that I share with you guys in our calls that will really help you think for yourself is, do you have proof that this particular thing is true? Are you someone who likes to see something for yourself? I much rather allow someone to show me who they are and me be able to be discerning enough and be able to collect that data and observe prior to making a judgment. And of course, this is easier said than done. I think we naturally as humans can get into a thinking where we have preconceived notions about people, where the way that they carry themselves, the way they walk, the way they talk makes us naturally feel certain things. And what's so funny about that is I've always known this to be true, but it was just something that I naturally wouldn't really do to other people, because I always found different people fascinating, and I always found people that were spoken about all the time fascinating. I've always been someone who can read a magazine, and I used to adore like Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton, the Olsen twins, and there would be all these little articles written about them, and it would never make me change how I felt about them at the time. Like, I just was like, I don't care. And that also goes for my admiration and love for Meghan Markle. I do not know this woman. I only know what I've seen from all the things that she has shown us, the public, and what that was. Was class, was style, was her being very poised and elegant. And that's what I base my feelings off of her from. And so many people would like attack me in the DMs or in my comments being like, oh, you don't know her. She's crazy. This, that, and the third. And I've never considered thinking differently than I did. Because what do you know about her that I don't? Is there something that you should be telling me? Are you her family member? Are you someone who shapeshifts into a fly and you've became a fly on the wall in all the rooms that she was in? No? So then where are you basing your thoughts of this woman on? Are you basing them off of British media? Are you basing them off of some random person saying this and spewing this hate? I do not pander to that type of hate. I've never been that person. I really suggest collecting the data, observing, and trusting your intuition and gut. There are certain people that I naturally do not gravitate towards. And I don't necessarily have a crazy reasoning as to what I don't like about this person. I just feel like their energy and their aura makes me feel unsettled. And maybe that's an unhealed version of me, but I don't do anything with this unhealed energy, and I don't do anything with this dislike. If I find that someone is not someone that I cling to or agree with, I just don't consume what they're selling. I don't hang out with them. I don't watch their content. I don't obsess over them. I don't stalk them. I just genuinely detach and I disassociate. It's not something that I study and obsess over. And that is something that I would really suggest you do if you want to live a joyous life. You want to live a good life, maybe stop obsessing or collecting data from people that you already know you don't like. So whenever I get like a nasty comment or somebody saying something about me and they have clearly been like watching me and know a lot about what I do, it's weird to me because I'm like, why are you consuming me and consuming my content if I make you feel this way? That is super unhealthy. And I would suggest you to surround yourself with energy and inspiration that brings you purpose and happiness and not makes you feel anxiety, obsession, or anger. So when leaning into thinking for yourself, practice being more discerning, trusting your intuition, allowing people to show you who they are and not let other people tell you, and trust yourself. Even if somebody is right about another person, I still wanted to find out myself. You know, I love when people say, oh my God, I told you so. What did you tell me? I did not know that person. It was up to me to decide if that was something that I wanted. And I allow energy, time, and the real face of the person to reveal itself. And that really has helped me in trusting myself with my decisions, with how I feel, with my opinions.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, I was on Instagram stories yesterday, and I was discussing how I went out to brunch with a girlfriend, and she's actually a new girlfriend of mine. She's actually married, and she, of course, like every married person that I'm friends with, was giving me dating advice, and I love it. I'm not one of those people that's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. Of course, I want to hear from a married person what they think I should do, what they think I should be, what they think would be in my best interest. Even if I don't take the advice, I like to hear it. She was telling me about how when things are meant to be, they just are. And to start aligning with the experiences that make me feel like I would meet my partner in them. So I was kind of explaining to her that I'm a creature of habit. I do the same things every day. I wake up, I go and get like my drink in the morning. I come home, I do work, I go to the gym. Sometimes I go out on the weekends, the same places. And occasionally I'll go to like similar restaurants throughout the week. That's really it. That's my schedule. And she was saying to me, well, how do you expect to meet someone in an environment like this? If one, you're not online dating, and two, you're constantly seeing the same people every day. And I thought, wow, I didn't think of it that way. Because it's a part of my life and my schedule, I guess I just am used to seeing the same people, the same things every day. And to be honest with you, dating and meeting someone is not really on the forefront of my brain. Now, that's not to say that I don't want to. I think that there is a healthy balance between decentering men, but still having the desire to meet your partner. You don't have to make it the end-all be-all to your life, but I also don't want to forget what I want. And what I want is partnership and connection. There is nothing wrong with that. Now, what I do know to be true is that all of the people that have partnership and connection could not have predicted, controlled, or made the situation work in their favor based off of, oh, well, I saw that person, so I want them. No, majority of the time it happens accidentally. It happens, you know, when divine timing just comes into your life and you are two people who choose each other and it should flow and it should not be confusing in any way. And I was really trying to manufacture a lot of dating experiences last year. And the reason why was because prior to that year, I wasn't taking my dating life super seriously. I was still healing from my breakup. I was working on myself and I was honestly just having fun. So last year, I wanted to put fun aside and really hone in on what I want. Now, although I do think that this is a healthy thing to a degree, what was unhealthy about it was I was trying so hard to manufacture experiences and control the situation. I thought that if I met guys that physically looked like my type and were perfect on paper, that I could try to convince them that they should be my husband without actually really thinking to myself, like, is this person genuinely compatible with me? Am I being superficial? Am I being someone who is not diving deep enough to see, like, is this person really my person? And you shouldn't really have to fight for these matches. They should just flow. So whenever I was met with resistance, I would try really hard to see it through because I thought, well, the initial feeling that I had was so great, I want to chase that feeling again. But what I've learned, even in my own life and in my own dating experiences that went successfully, You don't have to manufacture anything. When somebody wants you and desires you, it just is easy. It flows. There's no confusion. And there's a time frame to how things are meant to be done. So when I go back into last year and I think about all the men I met, which, by the way, they were amazing. I met some really great guys. The truth was, none of them were really for me. And I was trying to ignore it because on paper, everything looked great. So I was kind of explaining this to my friend over brunch, and I was also explaining to her a little bit about my situationship. For those who don't know that are listening today, I was in a situationship for, I want to say, a little over 8 months, and what I learned in that situationship was that you can't make someone want you with time, and you can't make someone fit into your life just because you see them in a different way than they see themselves. And I had so much faith in my situationship because I really liked him and I thought he had a cool vibe. And I thought that if I saw it, that he could eventually see it and that we could be like happily ever after. But that's craziness. And I realize now that that was me being a little bit hyper masculine and trying really hard to concoct a situation that was not in my best interest. Because at the end of the day, my truest desire is to be sought after, to be respected, and to feel like immense beauty within and to not have insecure feelings surrounding my love life. So anyways, I say all this to say, she was telling me that something that I really need to do is branch out and start doing different things. One of the things that she suggested was to go to coffee shops and to sit at different ones each month, trying different ones out, bringing my laptop, and just doing work. Now, this is a way to position yourself without creating so much meaning. A lot of you guys are going to hear this and say, well, this is a manufactured experience. It kind of is, but not really. I am going into it by being a little bit more intentional with broadening my horizons and seeing more, opening up my aperture and allowing myself to be seen. I have such a specific routine where I see the same people. If I branch out of that, it allows me to be seen by more people. And it allows me to meet more people, whether that's a friend, possibly a future business partner. Hey, I could even meet like a mentor or somebody in the space that could be someone really beneficial to my life. It's not always a romantic experience. For instance, people always say, oh, attend luxury gyms and you can meet your husband there. And what's so funny is I didn't meet my husband in my luxury gym, but I've met multiple of my best friends in my luxury gym. I have met lifelong best friends in my gym. I am literally a bridesmaid in one of their weddings. It's really a beautiful thing. So yes, this is not a faulty system. You meet wonderful people when you do wonderful things. So that is something that I think is really beautiful. But I really loved her idea of going to a coffee shop, a new one in different towns every month, to not only enjoy a different space and to enjoy a different environment, but also to see different people. She also said to grocery shop in different towns. I never thought about this. Granted, I've never really seen a man shopping alone in the grocery store. Maybe I don't go enough, or maybe I don't go at the times that they do. But hey, I like her thinking. It's just about opening your aperture and positioning yourself. There is nothing wrong with positioning yourself in moments where you can be recognized, where you can have an accidental but beautiful meet cute with somebody. You never know. So that is something that I am telling you guys in your consult calls when you ask me, hey, Hale, where do you meet men? Where do you do this? Where do you do that? I don't believe in really being super obsessed with the idea that you're gonna meet someone. But I do love the idea of being super obsessed with broadening your horizons and doing new things, creating new environments for yourself, trying new activities, and just being a little bit more lively. You literally meet people when you are living your life. It's literal accidental bump-ins. And I have seen it done so many times by people. And this allows you to be someone who's intentional, but also allow God to place something in your life when it's your time. When you realize that God is never late, you wait differently. And I am in a very patient but eager mindset. I have no problem waiting for what God has for me. but I'm super eager about it because I can't wait. It's just a beautiful feeling to know that what God has waiting for me is so beautiful, is so magnificent, and is aligned with my desires. Now, the last thing that I wanted to touch on that was discussed in one of my console calls, and this was something that was discussed today. This girl was giving me a story time about how she dated this guy, and he ended up being pretty verbally abusive and just like emotionally would attack her and say like, oh my God, I have all these women that are in my phone and I'm ignoring them for you. And I'm like a high value man and X, Y, and Z. And I asked her, I'm like, did you believe him when he said that? And she said, I absolutely did. And I said, well, why? And she said, well, I felt like he was just saying that to hurt my feelings, but that it was true. And I said, babe, I need you to hear this loudly. What is does not need to be explained. When something is true, why does somebody need to convince you of it so much? If someone really is confident, of high value, respectable, compassionate, financially free, why are they overselling what just is? A lot of the times, they are overselling it because it's either one, not true, or two, they are very insecure without that thing. And let me elaborate further. There are people who have a quiet luxury approach where they have money, but they don't talk about it. They are people who are rich, who are well off, who are able to provide for themselves in a very lavish way. And it's not something that defines them. They genuinely just move through life with the grace and the class and the humility of the average person. And then there's someone who also has money, but they're very gaudy about it. They're very loud about it. They're very obnoxious with it. And they constantly make people feel like they are beneath them, that they are better than others. Now, both of those people have money, but the latter person is insecure without it, believes that that is all they have to offer, and is always trying to convince people of it because they have a very lack their mindset. There is something very lack in their approach because they feel like if they don't oversell it and overdeliver it and overbe it, then it wouldn't actually be there. But that's not true. I say all that to say, this can even apply to yourself and it can apply to others that you interact with. If you are someone who is overselling to men that you are classy, that you are polite, that you are independent, it's because you're insecure about it. There is no reason that you should have to sell yourself to anybody. What is does not need to be explained. It is shown in your actions, in how you move, in how you speak, and that takes time for people to see. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. For a very long time, I used to be someone who would oversell myself, and the truth was, it was because I was insecure about it. I was insecure that if I didn't sell it, that people would see my insecurities. They would see where I fall short, that they would see that I was new to it and not true to it. But once I started familiarizing myself with my new life, and I started to accept myself for who I really was, and I started to really see the beauty in the little things, the less I needed to prove to anybody who I was. And it all requires security within. So I am able to identify certain things in people because I once was those people. So when I meet a man and he's like, I'm high value and I'm this and I expect that. It's BS. A high value man doesn't say stuff like that. He just doesn't. He lets himself show what he is. He shows you who he is in his actions, in his practices, in his habits. It's not something that is overly discussed. It's not something that's overly sold. Stop selling yourself and stop accepting people who sell themselves. A lot of the times they are fabricating it. A lot of the times they are never going to meet your needs because they rather you believe what they say and not actually see what they say. So not only am I trying to help you guys with trying to stop selling yourself to people, just exist. Let people find out who you are with time. That is literally how getting to know somebody is and how it works. And I really do believe that when you are constantly reiterating something over and over and over again, it's like you're trying to convince yourself of it. So let things be. I have people in my life who will say, Haley is so classy. Haley is so elegant. Haley is so special. And they see that because they've seen me with time. And I really appreciate the beautiful words that people that are close to me say about me, because for a very long time, my own personal validation was not enough because I was unsure fully of who I was. I just didn't really know how to practice self-love in a way where I was able to identify who I was without validation from external factors. So although I do not believe that we should be reliant on external validation, I do think sometimes it validates our personal validation that we were unsure of. Something that I'm really paying attention to in 2025 is my intuition. This was something that I would ignore for a very long time because I thought I was being difficult. I thought that I was being cynical. I thought that I was being jaded, but no, it was my inner guide. And honestly, I would go as far as to say it's God. God is placing these feelings within me. And I heard something really beautiful the other day, and it was saying that, you know, rejection is God's protection. But to elaborate further, not always is it us who is being rejected, but it's us who needs to be doing the rejecting. Sometimes rejection as God's protection is us rejecting certain treatment, is us rejecting certain people, is us rejecting certain ideologies. I was not letting people tell me how to feel about a person. I was not letting someone tell me who they were without me seeing it. I was not letting people tell me who I was when I didn't agree with it. That is me rejecting what they're doing. That's God's way of protecting you from being a sheep. That's God's way of protecting you from not trusting your gut and your intuition. That's God's way of protecting you from getting in bed with a liar.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
We need to take radical responsibility of these things in our life. And I think the overall theme of today's episode is to really just think for yourself and let things show you what they are in time, and to trust your gut and to have that instinctual feeling that everything is going to align for you when it's time. I think that we all need to just relax and take a deep breath. It's okay to be excited about the future. It's okay to want certain things. And I don't want you guys to feel like you have to pretty much not want something in order to receive it. Absolutely not. And I think for a long time, I even felt that way. I either would be super obsessed with getting something and I would manifest it a little too much. And then I would also try to detach fully from the experience, thinking that it was going to warrant some type of reaction that was going to get me what I wanted. But I rather just be very authentic in how I approach life by understanding that there is a healthy approach to everything, to release certain things, to be able to have that surrendering mindset and to still be okay. Like, I want to be someone who can surrender and still have joy in my life, knowing that everything is going to work itself out and knowing that I can't control external factors, but I can control how they control me. And that allows you to appreciate all the things that come to you, but it also allows you to be okay in the moments when nothing comes to you at all. I hope this episode did you guys well. I'm sorry for my raspy voice. I know I'm sick. I don't feel great, but I'm so happy to be here anyways. I love you guys so much, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, everyone.
Pioneer.